Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 231, entitled... How to do the inner work to transform your outer world and live the life you want, I chat with Thomas Edwards Jr. Thomas Edwards Jr. is a breakthrough and transformation coach, creator of the Intentional Self Belief System, and the founder of the Professional Wingman. In today's episode, Thomas talks about how he helps transform men's lives by having them do the inner work and getting them to focus on the areas of life that truly matter. He shares his personal struggle over the past few years with finding his own happiness and personal success despite being professionally on top of the world. By overcoming depression, substance abuse issues, and an identity crisis attached to his professional brand, Thomas had to tear everything down to build himself back up and become stronger than ever. If you're wondering how to work on your inner issues and come out better than ever, just like Thomas did, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Hey, are you following me on Instagram yet? If not, you are completely psychotic, but you do have a chance to redeem yourself. Go to Instagram right now and follow at Justin Stenstrom. That's JustinStenstrom. That's right. That's my first and last name. And when you follow me, you'll get day-to-day updates on book recommendations, biohacking tools, elite man know-how, and all the glorious content I probably shouldn't post about, but do anyways. Whether pics of me trying to conquer the world in my personal life or stories about cutting-edge research and technology, I post all the time on Instagram. It's one of my favorite platforms, so you have to be following me to keep up to date on Elite Man know-how. Get your daily dose of Elite Man entertainment and information Sunday through Saturday, Instagram at Justin Stenstrom. Also, you can always click the link in the show notes, which will take you to this link and all other links that we mention here on the Elite Man podcast. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is my good friend Thomas Edwards from ThomasEdwardsJr.com. Thomas, thanks so much for coming back on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, brother. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. Is this the second or third time I've had you on the show? I can't remember at this point.
I think it's the second time. Okay. Second time. We wanted to do more, but we decided that we needed to spread it out. So
yeah, we don't want to overwhelm these guys with too much incredible content here.
Yeah, too much greatness. I get it. Yeah.
So what's going on with you, man? Since the last time you came on the show, what's new with you? What's happening in your end of the woods? I know you're in L.A. now, right?
Yeah, so I'm in L.A., just celebrated 5 years of marriage, and my nice. Daughter, she
Congrats.
Just turned 2,
yes.
So a lot is thanks, man. It's that alone has been quite the journey, I'll tell you that much. You know, of course, being in L.A., different scene, different vibe, and, you know, I'm going to be 34 in a few weeks at the timing of this recording, and, you know, I'm constantly... just in reflection, thinking about, you know, what my year has been like and how far I've come and just all these things. And the last time we had talked, you know, we were talking about the professional wingman, which was, you know, my primary coaching business. And that still is around. And, you know, for those who are new to me, or this particular podcast, you know, I help, you know, the professional wingman helps people develop better social skills to improve their dating lives. This is something that I've been doing for over 10 years and was able to be pretty successful at it. You know, a lot of marriages and engagements under my belt, and there's a lot of things that have helped people get to that place. And what I realized over that time was I was answering the same questions over and over again, repeatedly. Guys were coming up and asking me, well, what do I say to her? Or where should I go to meet women? And I thought to myself, you know, these aren't questions that I only have the answer to, right? Like, I'm not the only one that has the keys to this kingdom. And so I started to look deeper and realize that it's really, you know, people look for tools, people look for solutions, but if the person applying those solutions or using those tools aren't at a level of a strength or courage or confidence or all these things that people do really desire, then it doesn't matter what tool they use. They're still going to fail. And I've watched this happen with so many clients. And then I started to see it happen within myself. I started to focus on the tools as opposed to the person using the tools. And I lost a huge part of myself, just crisis of identity, purpose, especially around the time my daughter was born, going to fatherhood and having to, you know, walk away from so many things and leave the life that I had behind. It threw me for a loop. And, you know, I went through depression and, you know, abuse around, you know, alcohol and drugs and just not in a good place till eventually, you know, my wife came to me and she said, listen, like, I love you. I want you to be happy. I want to be happy with you. I want us to be in a great relationship, but this isn't the relationship I want to be in. And so either the relationship changes or I have to go. And it put me in a place where I had to look at myself and say, what the fuck am I doing? Like, things need to change. I need to change. And so that day started this process of rediscovering who I am and what my calling is. And through that process of getting tons of support with coaches and therapy and fellowship groups and more coaching and more experience, you know, I discovered things that I was able to apply into my life, not only to help me become better, but to accelerate the results that I've been able to create for myself. And then I started to apply those systems and tools that I was able to customize and create for myself to the clients that I was working with. And they too started to see accelerated results. I was like, huh, this sounds more like my calling than anything else. And I leaned into it and eventually it became that, you know? So now, you know, I realize, and my mission, my vision with the people that I work with, and hopefully those who are listening here, is a better life, but through increasing your internal value, which I think is something that gets undermined a lot these days.
I love that, man. I want to dive into what some of those things were that you found out through some of your going into different therapies, so to speak, and different coaching and different modalities of just learning and growing from the inside, which, as you said, so many people try to get like the superficial shit and try to learn different techniques and strategies to be good with socializing, to be good with women. But you had to dial it back and actually dig deep back inside. I want to dive into that in a moment, but I'm curious myself, was it tough for you, Thomas, being this guy who's so great already, who's excelled to such an incredible level of having his shit together, being a guy that other guys look up to, of being just incredible socially and communicating with other people and, of course, dating skills, all that stuff. Yeah. Being someone like that who's such on a high level, on such a high platform like yourself, Thomas, was it hard for you to go out and find other people and kind of humble yourself back down to like baseline where it's like, I actually have to work on myself again? You know, you figured that shit out many years ago. You thought you were over.
Yeah.
But now you have to come back and start to do all the work over and over again.
Jesse, man. I mean, listen, the first story I shared with you guys was how I became the professional wingman. You know, if you listen back to our first podcast together, that was my story. And the professional wingman became my identity. And so once that identity, right, and my business became one, that's when I forgot about who I was and felt like I didn't have to work anymore. I think as guys, we always get to this, we constantly get into this place where we reach the pinnacle of what we have strived and worked so hard to achieve. And then the moment we achieve that, we take a step back and like put our feet up and we think that we can coast the rest of the way, as if like we've done all the work to get there and that was enough for us to stay there.
Yeah.
And as right. And like, that's not the case. Like, the moment you become lazy, the moment you become complacent, the moment you take things for granted, that's when things fall apart. And the crazy thing is it falls apart 10 times as quickly as it took you to get there, you know? And so it's not worth it, you know? And so what I realized in this time is whenever we set goals, and in my experience, when I had set out for the purpose to be the best in the world at going out and communicating and teaching people how to communicate with others in person, in real time, and I felt that I achieved that mark. And this was back in like, you know, late 2013, early 2014, when I achieved that mark, I never thought of anything beyond that. So my purpose was fulfilled, at least the intention that I had set forth, and there was nothing else for me to do. So I actually ended up spending, you know, the better part of 4 years in complacency, just chilling, thinking that like the next thing would just show up, or I could just like live this life the rest of the way. And there were other parts of my life that were continuing to grow and develop, like my marriage and you know, my becoming a dad, then obviously moving to LA. I mean, those are just parts of it, but they're key moments. And I wasn't doing anything to emotionally prepare myself and to build that internal security, that strength, that courage, that value that made me believe that I can not only handle what was coming, but I would be able to thrive through those circumstances. And I saw that a lot of guys struggle with that too. You know, they don't know how to emotionally handle the growth that's taking place right before their eyes.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. Like you said, you work so hard for so many years to get this one thing, that you have this one major goal in mind. And when you finally get to that, when you finally get to the peak of that mountain and achieve those goals or that one big goal, it's like you think you finally landed and everything's good to go, but it's like, yeah, another thing, like life inevitably comes up and different shit pops up, different troubles, different struggles pop up. And if you stay complacent, like you lay down on the top of that mountain, you're just going to get swept off again, man, and fall back down or you know, just have another bunch of encounters that you're not able to overcome. But it's like a constant, it's weird that life is like that in a way. It's like we can never really be content and satisfied because there's always growing, there's always things to do. But on the other hand, that's kind of what makes life so fun and so enjoyable, is that challenge, is the journey itself. And when you embrace that, I think something deep inside you comes out where you're actually more fulfilled than if you just kind of stopped in the beginning and were, you know, kind of fulfilled from the first thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're not growing, if you think you're staying level, that's not the case. I mean, eventually, as I was able to continue to build success with the professional wingman, I ended up living two separate lives. You know, in one life, on the surface, everything looked fucking amazing, right? I was getting all this media. I was out there working with clients. I was the life of the party. You know, people would fly me out to work with them in their cities all around the country. I was working with clients all around the world. Everything looked good on the surface. But underneath, like in the depths, if we were scuba diving deep, you know, you would see a lot of darkness and emptiness and shame and guilt and blame and rage, you know, stuff that just I've suppressed and held down for no better reason than I didn't know how to handle them. Right. I just didn't know. I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the wherewithal to know that I could handle these things. I mean, especially as men. I mean, how many of us listening here as men were taught to express our emotions or to share our emotions in such a way that really revealed ourselves and allowed us to be vulnerable? In most cases, like, if you were to do that, you'd be made fun of, you would lose friends, these are things you were told, and maybe you've experienced. You know, you'd lose friends, you'd be isolated, you'd be looked at as like a pussy, like all these things that you hear or have experienced come to light, and then you're like, nah, I'm not gonna talk about it, I'm just gonna suppress it. But reality is that shit will come to the surface. And then when it did for me, it didn't look good, guys. You know, and I know for a lot of you guys, that's probably where you're at, you know, where it's not looking good, you know? And so what's the alternative? You know, the alternative is you start to pull that shit out and get it out of you so you can create space for what you really want, you know, which is what I work with, you know, coach guys to do every day now.
So Thomas, what were some of the biggest things that you did to pull yourself out of this, to get away from all the shame, guilt, blame, rage, that kind of stuff that was going around? And of course, the depression too, which you mentioned before, that was really just dragging you down. What were some of the biggest things that you did and what did you learn from that process?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, when I look at, you know, the four areas of my life that are so meaningful to me, I look at love, which really is about love for myself, but also love for my family. I look at my lifestyle in terms of not just the experiences that I have, but also who's in it, who's in my life, like who's my community, who's my tribe. I look at like my leadership, how I'm showing up for my clients, but also how am I showing up at home? You know, am I a leader of my household? Am I a leader of my peers? And then lastly, it's like, well, what's the legacy that I want to leave? You know, my daughter is watching a real life movie of her father's life. Right. And like, I get to control how that movie goes, you know, and it could be a shitty movie if I mess around, you know, and she could not want anything to do with that movie, or she could want to be a part of it because she loves and she wants to see traits in me that she wants to have in her life, you know. So what I decided to do in that moment was, you know, as I started to seek therapy, you know, that was the first thing. And I wouldn't say necessarily therapy that was the first thing I did. The first thing I did was I asked for support. Because as someone, as a coach who helps so many people, rarely do you hear about their struggles and how they go after support. And oftentimes, and I've seen this with across the board, you know, a lot of coaches, you can really tell how good they are based on who they have as their coach. You know, if they're not working with anyone, if they're not handling their own issues, or if they think that they're doing it by themselves and that's the solution, there's something that there should be a red flag there.
Definitely.
And I was someone who was that person, right? So I'm not like just throwing this out there for the sake of it. I used to be someone who didn't think it was worth investing in getting support because I thought I knew all the answers, or at least I thought if I didn't, I could do it on my own. And this experience taught me that no. Like, I could decide to do it on my own, and it'll take a gazillion years, and I might get 95% of the way there, but why would I put myself through that experience? Why not just get support around me to get there quicker and to not have to go through the pitfalls or the struggles or the blind spots that I wouldn't have been able to see if I was doing it by myself? And so therapy was that first part, you know, just going and just sharing myself and my emotions and whatever. And one of the things I learned from that experience was that my feelings were valid, right? They're like, whether I'm angry, guilty, shameful, rageful, happy, sad, frustrated, confused, whatever it may be, they're all valid because those are just emotions that get triggered based on experiences that happen in our lives. But what we do as a result of those triggers, like after those triggers take place, that's the part that we have control over. That's the part that determines our character and builds our character. And that was the part that I was not doing well in. And so, you know, through that support, it helped me create some structures and some habits, for example, setting up routines in my life. Like, I have a daily routine that for me, when I wake up in the morning, I hit it. And I'm immediately like triggered by power. I feel powerful and ready to get after the day. I'm happy to share what that is if you guys want to hear.
What is that?
Yeah. So you know, this was actually, I learned from one of my coaches who I also like hired in the process. His name's Garrett J. White. You guys can look him up. But like, when you think about, and what I'm sharing is not unique. You know, if you literally Google search morning routine, you'll most likely see articles that are titled, "The most successful people in the world do this in the morning," or something along the lines of that, right? So I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but what I do is I wake up early. So I wake up, for me, it's 6:30 right now. And for some of you, like, you might wake up earlier, you might wake up at that time and think that's not a big deal. Well, for me, at that time, as someone who was attached to being the professional wingman, there were nights where I was getting home at 6:30 a.m. Yeah. So, you know, and so... And that wasn't necessarily because of work. That was also because of personal shit that I was going through, right? The darkness and the inner demons. Like, I was out because I was isolating and hiding and running away. And so I would just stay out for all this time. But just the simple shift of waking up early caused a ripple effect in my life. So, for example, in order to wake up early every day, I had to go to bed early. So I was going to bed. I was in bed. Most nights I'm in bed by like 10, you know, like sometimes earlier, 9:30, sometimes a little bit later, 10:30. But what that did immediately is it cut off any opportunity for me to go out at that around that time. And so immediately my lifestyle shifted as a result, right? The people I hung out with, because the people you hang out with after 10 are a lot different than those that you hang out with before 10. You know, also my eating, right? If I was going to bed at 10, then chances are I was not eating after 8 o'clock unless it was a special circumstance. But I always needed that 2 hour window so my food can at least digest before I went to bed. Because when you eat before bed, your sleep doesn't, you don't get great sleep. Right. So those are just three things that shifted just from me waking up at 6:30 in the morning. Right. But that has long term implications. But other things I do is I do a workout for 5 to 10 minutes, nothing overly extraneous. I just wanted to just push my body in some way that just gets me physically going. Right. You get the adrenaline pumping. And then I have a green powder shake so I can get some like nutrients in me for the day. I meditate for 20 minutes. In different phases. That, you know, what I use is a 6-phase meditation that's done by, created by Vishen Lakhani, who's the founder of Mind Valley. You guys can look that up. And then I journal for 10 to 20 minutes about whatever it is that I'm feeling that's powerful, whether it's me being pissed off at my wife for doing something stupid or like me being pissed off at myself for doing something stupid, or maybe I'm happy. Maybe I'm just grateful about, you know, experience that I had with her. You know, my wife and I go on date nights every week and I'm always journaling about date night the next day, just about how grateful I am about that time and how happy I am. And then as I journal, I also think about, well, what's the lesson that I learned out of this experience and how can I apply it to love? How can I apply it to lifestyle, leadership, and legacy? And then after that, I might sneak in and cuddle with my wife, because around that time, that's when she wakes up, right? And so I'll cuddle her for a little bit. I'll wake up my daughter. You know, sometimes I'll do a little bit of reading while I'm in the bathroom. just like reading something about... Yeah, exactly, right. Just reading something about business or marketing or health, you know, nutrition, whatever it is, but just something that I might be able to apply to my current life. And all that happens within the time of an hour, maybe 90 minutes. And then I finally make my bed. So, you know, for me, that's like 9 things that I get done within upwards of 90 minutes. So if I can get that done in such a small time window, what else can I get done in the other 22 and a half hours? You know, chances are it's a lot. You know, and so that puts me into action, and that was the beginning of how I started to see other parts of my life that could be habitual, that could be routine and trigger focused, centered around power and certainty, you know, and creating opportunities for myself.
Today's episode is sponsored by my friends over at Simple Habit, the creators of one of the coolest and most effective meditation apps I've ever used. You guys know I love meditation. I talk about it on the podcast all the time. I bring on guests who share different meditation practices, and I've used and tried so many different meditations myself. Every day, in fact, I meditate because, well, I just love it that much. I've tried dozens and dozens of apps, MP3s, and different programs in the past, but I've got to say, Simple Habit is right at the top of the list for favorite ways to meditate. Simple Habit has hundreds of meditations available for free and thousands with their premium subscription. And there's over 100 plus experts on these meditations, so you don't get tired or bored with hearing the same voice over and over again. And one of the things I love most about Simple Habit is that they have specific meditations for specific problems, such as getting over stress, focusing better, helping you go to sleep, kickstarting your morning, and so much more. It's not like so many other meditations that can quite frankly get old and tiresome really fast. Simple Habit has so many different things to do and keep keeps you very engaged and wanting to do more. Not to mention they also have cool walking meditations, commuting meditations, work meditations, and even meditations for when you have to do the dishes. And did I mention many of these meditations are short and to the point, taking up only about 5 minutes of your time? Yep, Simple Habit is truly a game changer in the meditation space. For 30% off their premium subscription, go to simplehabit.com/elite right now and get started. But make sure you go right now, as this offer will be gone soon and is limited to the first 50 Elite Man listeners who act fast. That's simplehabit.com/elite.
So, Thomas, I mean, I love pretty much everything that you're saying and all the habits that you have. I myself actually want to try to get back down, because I was doing good for a little bit. It got down to like 8 in the morning, which is really early for me. I'm a night owl, as it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, man. But I'm kind of back up to closer to like 10 at this point again, which kind of sucks. But then again, I do go out. But how do you feel when you like have to skip out on, say, going out with a client on the weekend to do some coaching with them, or, you know, you're not going out for someone's like a get together with your buddies at the on a bar night or something? How do you feel about skipping out on things like that and then just going to bed earlier when you know like you could still be doing other stuff at night? Because that is something that I've thought about and kind of struggled with in the past, where it's like I don't want to sacrifice one thing for another, even though I do like waking up early. Like you said, you get so much done in the morning, you feel like incredible about it. There is kind of a balance there.
There is, man. And like I will tell you, like the way I described it made it seem like this wasn't like an overnight thing. It was not, guys. Yeah. Like, you know, for at least the first month, I was in paranoia around the idea that like all of my friends would desert me, that because like I would have to say no to certain things, you know, and I had to be reasonable with myself. You know, like there were a lot of things that were on the line for me. You know, my business was on the line. My family was on the line. My life was on the line. And so in that moment of like, of trying to like, you know, come back from rock bottom, the choice for me was pretty simple. It was either like, is it really worth having 3 hours of fun that potentially could fuck up and become 8 hours of fun, you know, and destroy my life or my marriage? Is it really worth it? And I would just say, no, it's not. And, you know, saying no was very, very difficult. And I'll tell you what happened over time. Like, I haven't actually had to say no a lot to people. It was saying no to myself that I had to say a lot, you know, because there was a point where I was going out, you know, almost every night, and I'd be out late, you know. And so there was so that became a habit within itself.
So I had to
create a completely new habit of like staying home and doing other things that were enjoyable to me that wouldn't make me want to miss being out. You know, this is very contrary to a lot of other guys I work with who are used to being home, right? Like a lot of them don't go out, and they all of them don't want, you know, feel they don't want to because they get a lot of anxiety and they worry about it. For me, it was the opposite. I had to learn how to stay home, which is crazy, but that was the reality, right? And so a lot of that was telling myself no, not necessarily other people. And what happened was the people who I was clinging on to but knew that they were toxic for my life, you know, those kind of, and we all have those type of relationships with people. We have friends who just, they're drinking buddies, or in my case, like they're like drug buddies, and like I would only see them if I was looking to get hammered or wasted. Like those people aren't in my life anymore, you know? And it's because I'm not reaching out to them. I'm not running into them during the day, right? Like they're out at night getting wasted and hammered and they're sleeping during the day because they got wasted and hammered the night before. So that shifted. And then, you know, the friends who end up sticking around saw what I was trying to do. And then they started to accommodate more and wanted to do more evening, early evening type stuff, or even daytime stuff where I could be included because they really wanted to spend time with me. And that made me feel good in return, in the sense that like they were willing to do that. If they weren't, I would totally also understand and be sad and upset about it, for sure. And at the same time, they were able to do that for me. So there was only a handful of friends who kind of emerged when the dust settled, so to speak, when I cleaned house and made that shift from staying out. But you're always going to have that desire, man. I still get invites to events every night. Some of this stuff looks fucking amazing and I would love to go. And I still go out every once in a while. I still go out. Like I'm not like a homebody, right? Like I still go out, but I pick and choose what things I want to experience and who I want to experience them with. And that's the big difference. I just don't go, I don't go out for the sake of going out anymore. Cause after that, after a while that gets old, you know, like if I want to sit down and drink beers or have drinks with friends, like I'll just invite them over to my place. You know, I don't need to necessarily go out to necessarily do that. But if we're going out to watch the Pats game, or if we're going out to, like one of my friends is celebrating his birthday. Like if we're doing like a birthday type of thing, I'm down. I'll go for that because that's a special occasion. And so it's really about prioritizing, you know, the experiences that you want to have and who you want to have them with. And I never had that until recently where I was able to put that together. Now, anytime I go out, it's fucking incredible. And then when I'm nice when I stay in, they're as incredible because I also might be playing Uno with my wife or life or playing video games or something, you know? So there's it's a challenge. So I'm not saying it's easy. It's simple and it's a challenge. And once you're able to find that right, I don't like using the term balance. I'm a believer in integration. Once you find the right integration, it'll be awesome for you.
What was the toughest part about all this? Was it not going out anymore? Was it not drinking as much? Was it not seeing some people that you used to see before? Or was it something else, like just dealing with all the emotions? And because it's almost like an addiction in a sense of having to always do something. Like you have those habits, those bad habits, and they're kind of like addictions. And even the good habits, you can kind of say it's like a good addiction once you like switch it back. But it is like you have to break past an addiction. So what is that? What was the hardest part of this like sort of addiction that you had?
The hardest part was honestly letting go of the identity that I thought I needed to have in order to be valuable, in order to like be significant in the world. Yeah. You know, my attachment to Wingman was so deep that like I was clinging on for dear life, you know, and it just wasn't healthy, you know, and it was exhausting, you know. I mean, as a coach, like many people know that, like, you know, the emotions that come with transforming individuals' lives, you know, it's something that is unique to coaches. Like not everyone can handle that kind of thing. And for me, like to live up to that expectation that I had created for myself, right? Just being this like, you know, high performing social, like enigma, if you will, like that within itself, like just would put a lot of pressure on me. And I thought if I didn't have that, then I wouldn't have any value in the world, you know? And so that was the hardest part. Like today at the time this recording has been 5 months of no drinking, you know? And so like that hasn't been really the difficult thing in comparison. The going out and slowing down, that hasn't really been the most difficult thing. I mean, I would say in the first month that it was definitely the most pressing challenge, but in the long term, it was really about letting go of the fears around not being good enough or the fears around like the stories I would create about why friends are my friends. You know, I used to have these really harsh stories about myself that my friends were only my friends because I was the wingman. And if I wasn't the wingman or if I didn't show up as the wingman, I wouldn't be as interesting or cool to them and they would stop hanging out with me. These are the stories that I was creating for myself that I'm sure a lot of people would create for themselves. And changing that story, right? It was a big challenge for myself. Changing that story into I'm good enough as I am. It's not Wingman that makes them like me. It's me who makes them like me. Yeah. And so how do I show up in that way that you know proves that to be true? And you know, and so that was really the most difficult thing. Cause once that decision and once that story was tossed out with this new story that really helped my life and helped and served me, it made the other pieces that came with it a lot easier to work with. So like, you know, I don't miss drinking, in the sense of like binging and the hangovers and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there are elements what I do miss about drinking are like whiskey tastings and wine tastings and like, you know, beer fests. Like that's really the part of drinking that I miss. But like, outside of that, there's nothing else. You know, the late nights that I miss the people watching, actually. Right. I really do miss watching people at night as single people going out and like trying to make it happen. Right. I do miss that because there is still that natural thrill that comes with it. But like trying to like catch an Uber that's like two times the rate for me to get home. Like, don't miss that at all. You know, having to sneak in and not wake up my wife because I'm fumbling my clothes as I'm getting in. Don't miss that either. You know, and so it's a choice, guys, at the end of the day, you know, and choices are difficult to make and you're going to have conflict. I mean, that's the one thing that I hope you guys get from this is, when you know you're meant to do something else and you're in a place where you think you should be doing something else based on your own expectations or storytelling, there'll always be conflict. And that conflict will bring you down and down and down until you get to a point of crisis where you're questioning your purpose, you're questioning your identity. And ultimately, it comes down to you making a choice of what you want your life to look like. Do you either want to fight it, you know, and make it a very difficult thing for yourself? Are you going to do it on your own and not ask for any support and make it difficult for you? Or are you going to just accept the fact that like what you're doing right now isn't working and that you want to change and that getting help is the best way to do it? You know, I always feel like people are as powerful as the people who support them, you know, like, social media is like a very like base and vain example of that. But people look at numbers of your following as like an indication of your self-worth. But like, I look at it as like in your real life, like who supports you? Who do you have that you can lean on to support and guide you and mentor you and lead you to the place that you want to be? The more people you have, the quicker you'll get there, the more powerful you'll be, and the more opportunities you'll create for yourself. You know, and this is coming from someone who used to not believe that, but who's living that life now. You know, it's magical what can happen when you're able to amass a team of support.
Yeah. Thomas, I've mentioned this on the podcast too, but for years I've gone on and off with the therapist that I have, and she's just incredible. Like the insights, the perspective she can give me, the different just ways of looking at things that are going on in my life. When you have like a good therapist like that, I talk about this actually in the upcoming book I have, but a good therapist is worth their weight in gold. They really are. Yeah. They can just do so many things for you, man. And like a same thing with a good coach, any good coach, like you hired a coach, you had a therapist. They just can see and help you out in so many different ways that you don't even understand or realize because you're just looking at your life from one perspective, your perspective, but just someone from the outside can see things in a different way, literally in a different way than you could ever possibly see it. And it can be so helpful. But yeah, on and off, I've been doing that for years, man, and it's been such a huge help for me. You mentioned a therapist, you mentioned a coach. Is there anything else that you did to really kind of change your perspective on things? And actually, like you mentioned before, I think you put it a very good way, change that inner story that you were telling yourself. Because for a long time, you were just putting all of your ego into the professional wingman, and that's who you are. That became your identity. That was your story. But when it had to change just because life changed as the years went by, you had to change that inner dialogue yourself. What was another step or strategy that you used to really help yourself rewrite that story?
I will say flat out, it was bringing more men into my life. Yeah. Like, it, you know, the idea of brotherhood and male relationships is lost to today's world. Yeah. And it's a shame because this is, as we're growing up, there's a lot of kids who are growing up in like fatherless homes, and mothers are doing the best they can, right? At the same time, mothers don't have the experience of men. They can't share the experiences of what men go through. They can only share what they think they know and what they've gone through. So a lot of kids growing up don't really get an opportunity to really understand what it means to be a man, unless they go out into the streets or they go and they read things or, you know, and a lot of that is not their own experience. They're taking someone else's experience and applying it to their own life. And in my life, especially as being quote unquote the professional wingman, a part of my identity was always around just like being around women. You know, my relationships with women had me understand women so much that it gave me an upper hand. And while that was true, I didn't have a lot of male friends to also talk about the chaos that I was dealing with, you know, a lot of the emotion and of trying to handle like success that I was creating, the decisions I had to make in my business or in my life, the pressures that I was feeling. I didn't have an outlet or a place to go that wasn't therapy, you know, because therapy is a different experience. That's more of a, I see therapy as like you going to see like someone who his sole purpose is to like guide you through your emotions, who has studied and trained for over a decade, you know, so they have the kind of knowledge and expertise that you could never have in that regard. But I'm talking about just talking to your friends and sharing things with them, or at least hearing from them things about what's going on with them that make you feel like you're not alone. You know, it's that feeling. I felt so alone for so long because I was saying to myself, no one understands what I'm going through, or no one like wants to understand, or no one gets me. And like the reality was like I wasn't sharing with anyone, but I also wasn't surrounding myself with people who would get me and who would understand. And it wasn't until I surrounded myself literally with like men's groups. I'm in a coaching men's group, and I have more male friends in my life today than I used to, you know, even last year, where I'm able to just share with them openly what's going on with my life and what I'm feeling, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And they are able to share those things with me too. And that experience alone can let us sit there and know that we're not alone. And if we know that we're not alone, then we know that we can get through it. We can get through whatever it is that we're dealing with, you know. But when you feel like you're alone, it's a very desperate place to be in, and you don't really see like the opportunities for growth or for things to be better because you don't see a path because you're the only one that's in there, you know. So, you know, for me, and especially for me, given my current condition, is being around other dads too. Because there's another level of being around someone who is a father, who's married, who also runs his own business. Because that comes with its own set of emotions and stuff to deal with, you know. So I made a priority to really seek out and spend time with those people, whether it was one-on-one or in a group. And, you know, I'm in a place now where I'll never tell myself that I'm alone again, because that's just not true. And if I ever do even feel close to feeling like that, I know that I can literally open up my phone and call someone and they'll answer and they'll be there for me. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't stress the importance enough of just being around men, you know, in general, just so you can understand, like, you're not alone in this thing of called being a guy. Women will never understand, just like we won't understand women. We try our best, but yet we still are questioning ourselves. But you want to at least know that you can figure yourself out by being around other guys who are trying to do the same.
Yeah. The problem just becomes so much easier when you know that there's other people doing it. There's other people there to support you along the way. It really does. What are some of the best places? I'm going to wrap up in just a minute, Thomas. Yeah. But what are like the best ways, real quick, off the top of your head, for guys to find men's groups like the one that you're in now, that they can join and get that same type of support?
Yeah, so you know, there's been a huge pop up. If you go on Eventbrite or Meetup, you know, these are the OGs of like event listings, but they do have great men's groups. You know, just look through, see how often they meet up, how large the group is, and just attend one of their sessions. Oftentimes, you know, one of the things that I hear is like, oh, well, you have to pay to be a part of a group. I'm like, well, yeah. Like sometimes the payment goes through actually housing the space so you guys can all be in the room together. Yeah. Sometimes the space is for to provide food and beverages for you guys, you know, but like it's not like anyone's making money. It's actually just to make this whole thing possible. So if you're willing to invest, do so and surround yourself. There are coaching programs that are out there that really focus on brotherhood and camaraderie, and, you know, and so definitely look into those directions. You know, and then also just like, honestly, you know, I've been sharing this since day one of my coaching, but when you go out and you're going out to socialize, and let's say you are hopefully looking to meet women, and that's okay, look to meet guys too. Because even in that experience, you're not alone. You're not the only guy in that bar looking to meet women, yeah. You know, and so leverage that and connect with other guys. Who knows what could happen? I mean, when I first moved to LA, I was invited to a LA Fashion Week party, and I went in and I saw this guy. This guy saw me. We were both like, dressed really fashionably. We gave our nods of approval, and then like we end up at the, you know, at the bar having conversation. He invited me to a party the next night. I showed up by myself. you know, met up with him, and we've been friends ever since, like good friends ever since, you know, like, and so
it's awesome.
Yeah. You know? And so like the whole idea of like, it's so much harder to meet guys, you know, friends when you're older, it's all bullshit. That's all a story that we create to make it seem like that. But if you're open and willing to create those connections, you will find someone else who's just as open and willing to as well. So just go out there and make that happen. But you can create this. You have total access and control and support around you to be able to do that.
Love it. Thomas, there's so many great tips in this episode, man, about doing the inner work and really figuring out that inner dialogue of changing your life when you are down. What is the last send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave the Elite Man audience, and then a place that our listeners can check out more about your work?
Yeah, man. You know, I think the big thing is conflict. You know, conflict will always have you questioning yourself. And the best way to handle that conflict is to really focus more on how you value yourself. Because the more time you spend, valuing yourself, whether it's how you eat, how you work out, you know, the dialogue you have with yourself, maybe how you pamper yourself by getting haircuts or dressing up or getting a massage. I mean, or even taking yourself out on a date. I mean, these are real tangible things you can do to show yourself love. It'll allow your ego to chill out and actually like feel fulfilled so you can focus on what you ultimately want to do. So the best love that you can give is the one that you give yourself. And I promise you, when that moment happens, all the other love that you've been working so hard to get from the outside will come in as easy as anything you've ever experienced. So if you want to learn more about that, my process, how I work with, you know, my clients, you can just go to thomasedwardsjr.com. I'm actually hosting a weekend workshop in LA that is an intensive around all of this, from daily habits to weekly strategies to monthly and quarterly targets that will help transform your life. Go to thomasedwardsjr.com/intentioncon and you can sign up and learn more all about it.
Awesome. Thanks again, brother, for coming back on the show. Really do appreciate it. And I look forward to having you back a third time, probably in the near future.
Yeah, man.
Take care and talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, have you checked out our Elite Man YouTube channel yet? If not, get on it right now. Go to elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube and start watching our fantastic videos. We cover everything from dating, health, business, fitness, confidence, mindset, social skills, everything that you need to know to be a 21st century elite man. We've got you covered. We have a new video coming out every Monday and Friday, and I'm telling you, this is the number one place to get your elite man fix and the number one place to grow as a man. These videos will absolutely change your life and entertain you at the same time. I'm telling you, check these videos out right now. I have so much fun putting them together, and I know you're going to absolutely love them. elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube. Make sure you check it out right now and subscribe to our channel to get more of these fantastic videos and get notified the instant we release a new video. elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.